Open your Bible, please, to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, as we continue our study, we'll begin this morning with verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, in order to get the flow of thought going, and for that matter, if you just happen to be joining this broadcast, I realize from time to time people are just kind of flipping the dial and eventually will come onto a station that they hadn't been listening to. And if that happens to be your case this morning, this word of introduction, I'm Pastor Alan Blackwood, and we've got a broadcast here called The Bible Says, and the thrust of it, the mission purpose, if you will, of this broadcast is the exposition of the Word of God. Just simply, what does the Bible say? I would like to believe that it is helping people to clear up the confusion, kind of clear the smoke, settle the dust, whatever, to get beyond the sensational interpretations of the Word of God, to get away from the heresies and some of the crackpot interpretations of Scripture. What does the Bible say? I want you to understand, there are those who will say, well, you know, you can't be dogmatic about this. There's as many different interpretations of the Bible as there are people who read it. Well, I can see why people would say that. There's a certain amount of comfort, I suppose, to be derived from that sort of an idea. However, you need to understand that the Bible, as it was written, in this case, Ephesians is an epistle or letter that was written by the Apostle Paul to a congregation of blue-collar workers, I suppose you could call them, the equivalent of it, just everyday common people, without benefit of some ivory tower education, no seminary background available to them. We're not talking about people who are a particular class of people, extremely educated, nor ignorant people for that matter either. Just a cross-section of a fairly large cosmopolitan city back in Bible times. Ephesus was a very important city. Was it a crossroads? A lot of shipping went out of it. It was a place that was... It had been exposed to a great diversity. I hate that word. A diversity of religions, a diversity of philosophies, and a good deal of confusion. Now, as Paul wrote this letter, writing to common individuals, it's apparent that he expected them to understand what he meant. There's no double entendre, there's no double meaning, there's no hidden agenda, there's no secret code you have to decipher. It just simply says what it says. Don't try to take it beyond that. As the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God, if it is not knowable, if it is not clearly understood, if it does not say the same thing to one as it does another, somebody's messed up. All right? Now, let's look here then at Ephesians chapter 2, verses. I want to begin reading once again with verse 8, 9, and then we'll go into our verse for today, verse 10. Verse 8 says, "And for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship." Now, this is the thrust here. If you go back to the beginning of chapter 2, he talks about every man's background. We are all born dead in trespass and in sin. We all shared a common heritage in this. The scripture says, as Paul writes to the Corinthians, he says, "As in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." We are all born dead spiritually. We are all sinners by birth, by our nature, by our choice. And in the first part of the chapter, he spends a good deal of time talking about that. And then he brings up the intervention of God. In verse 4, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ." This intervention, it sounds trite to say it was a godsend, for it was, and yet without that intervention, you and I would have absolutely no hope of fellowship with God or eternity in heaven. As we move through 8 and 9 in the previous broadcasts, we come to verse 10, "For we are his workmanship." The scripture says salvation belongeth unto the Lord. You can't add anything to it. You can't take anything away from it. You cannot help God save you. You cannot help God keep you saved. Salvation from its inception is a construction by God. The writer of Hebrews says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. It's not a matter that he begins the process and we finish it. He is the author and the finisher, the beginning and the completion. If you like, it would be feasible, I suppose, to add even this coloration, this tint, if you will, to the word finisher. If you're familiar with the process of hanging sheetrock, doing drywall, you can have a crew that will come in, or maybe you've hung it yourself, maybe hung it with nail and hammer, or maybe a screw gun and sheetrock screws, drywall screws. But after you've got it hung up, it's not ready to paint. You need a finisher to come along and make it right, get it ready to be completed. If you like the concept of a finisher that way, one who is a completer, one who finishes off the last detail and makes it suitable, okay, fine, then he is also the finisher of our faith. But when it comes down to faith, when it comes down to salvation, that is completely and entirely of God and by God. You'll notice in verse 8 and verse 9, there is no room here for you to get your hand in the cookie jar. There is no possibility of you saying, "Looky here, what I helped God do." God did it all. He did it by himself. You had nothing to do with it. A church didn't do anything to complete it. Good works can't do it. You will notice, please, not of works, lest any man should boast. And then, almost as though to finish nailing down the lid on the coffin for self, it says, "For we are his workmanship." His workmanship, not your own. You've heard people say, "Well, I'm a self-made man." I'm always inclined. I've done it once or twice, and I don't particularly care. Well, I'll put it like this. The reaction is never sweet, okay? Somebody says, "Well, I'm a self-made man." You look at him and don't crack a smile and say, "My, you didn't have much to work with, did you?" And it's true. If you had to make yourself, if you had to save yourself, if you had, oh, friend, you'd never get off the ground. No, we are his workmanship. Workmanship, what does that mean? Well, if you look at a house, how's it put together? Is there cracks in the walls? Is the floor level, or is it wavy? Does it dip to one side? Does it sag in the middle? How about the walls? Are they plumb? Are they straight up and down? Or what about the doors? Do they hang open when you open them, or do you, when you let loose of them, find that they swing shut on their own and slam shut because the thing's not hung straight? What about the molding around the doors, the woodwork? Is it well done, or is it kind of nasty? You see, all these things show you the level of ability and skill of the workmen who are doing the work. Somebody who's a framer, he's responsible for making sure everything is plumb and level. There's somebody to make sure, somebody needs to make sure that the foundation is solid, and that as that house is built on that solid foundation, that everything is included as it ought to be. You don't want to get the sheetrock hung and then have the electrician come in and say, "Oh, where'd you want an outlet?" It's a little late for that. This is not good workmanship. This is not good procedure in construction. Everything has to go in at the proper time. and the fineness of the detail. If you look at the corners of, well, let's say where the molding comes together, is there just a hairline join, or is there a big gap where the two pieces come together? Was it a true 45 angle cut there and made it together, or is it a, it's close? And you have to find some sort of colored accompucky to put in there to fill in the gap. Workmanship, skill, ability being demonstrated. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Outside of Him, remember, Jesus said, without Me, you can do nothing. To be truthful, without Him, we are nothing. For we are His workmanship, that is God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto, notice there's a purpose. It's none of this business of, well, we'll get to heaven, we'll just sit there for all eternity, just praising God and just, no, there's a purpose. God saved you to serve. There are too many Christians, entirely too many Christians, who after they've given their heart to Christ, sit back and never do a lick for God. They never do anything for Him. They're all consumed with making the almighty dollar and getting ahead, trying to keep their nose above water, get the bills paid, get the kids in school and get that paid off, and have a good car, have a nice home. What's God get out of all this? What does God get out of all this? It's a funny thing. You can have a sculptor or a potter who will make some exquisitely detailed piece of work, maybe a statue that seems almost ready to take its first breath. It is so lifelike you expect it to move. Now, what does that do in relationship to its maker? It can't move. It's an inanimate object. And yet, by its very beauty, it brings praise, it brings renown, it brings fame to the sculptor, to the one who designed it, who conceived the thing. It points to its maker. My friend, is that not your purpose? Isn't that what you're supposed to do? To bring fame, to bring praise, glory to your Savior, to the God who redeemed your soul? For we are His workmanship, created in... Ooh, think about that a minute. We are His workmanship. In your testimony, are there cracks where there shouldn't be? In your temper, are there uneven places? In your personality, are there nasty streaks? We are His workmanship. Listen, every flaw about you is your fault. God made you perfect. Now you say, wait a minute, preacher, my ears always been too big. No. You missed my point. There are things you look at as being, you know, not perfect or whatever, but I mean in terms of the way God made you. Everything about you is a unique blend that nobody else shares. And as such, you, as a unique and one-of-a-kind vessel, are capable of giving a particular kind of praise to God and honor and glory to God that no one else can do quite like you. Well, are you working for Him? Are you headed toward that end? We are His workmanship. My time's gone for today. Spend some time on verse 10, will you, between now and tomorrow's broadcast, and let's see if we can't dig some more out of it. There's some good stuff here. I hope you'll join me then, 9 o'clock in the morning, okay? See you then.